Well, why are we a church? Why we are a church? I've been talking about this, and for the first message, it was almost a month ago, and then last week we got part two, but today I want to talk about part three, a church that worships. Like I said, though, next week, Bob and Betty Sue McIsaac will be sharing with us next week. And then the 23rd, I will be sharing the fourth part of this message. And then just to come, July the 30th, I just want you to kind of know what's heading and coming over the summer. But Alton Garrison is our National Assistant Superintendent of the Assemblies of God. And he's to be joining us and sharing with us on the 30th. And I just want you to be here. And he doesn't know it yet, but he plays the piano, and it is an incredible pianist. And we're going to get him to play us a number while he's here, because you'll be blessed by it. But he'll be sharing his heart, and I just want you to open your heart. I think God's got some good stuff for you over the summer. And if we'll just kind of open our hearts and let him speak to us. Amen? Amen. So how many of you kind of got here by accident today? Like you just were out for a Sunday drive and you just pulled in. And it's like, I think I'll walk in the door. Anybody come here by accident? Usually it doesn't happen that way. In fact, how many of you are here on purpose? You are. You might say, well, that's kind of an odd question. We're all here on purpose. But what was your purpose in coming? To worship. Well, some people, did you know, go to church to see friends? How many would be honest right now and say, yeah, that's one of the reasons I go to church. It's one of the reasons. I love seeing my friends. It's a great place. Some people go to church so they can ease their conscience. It's not been so good this week. I've really not served the Lord. Man, if I'm in the house of the Lord, maybe things will be a little better. And of course, some come, and I mean, I got to get enough hope to get me through the next week. You know, I kind of lost hope. I'll get hope while I'm here. And others really come to encounter the living God. I don't know. What was your purpose for coming? Well, as a church, we've been talking about, we know we're here to seek and to save the lost. That's one of the main purposes. And also, we're to build up one another in the most holy faith. But we're also a people who worship. You need to know that something that we really don't come to church, but we come together as the church. You understand that? We are the body of Christ. You are the church. And we meet corporately in this building. We come together to worship here. As we do so, Matthew 22, Jesus says these incredible words as he is echoing early command from God. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So church, I love the fellowship and the meet and greet time that we have, but the first priority ought to be the first priority. And that's to love God first. Worship him. In this great commandment, we find the concept of worship expressed in this way, to love the Lord your God, but to love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So what is worship? The concept of worship is the idea of worth-ship in the sense that we worship God to express his worth to us. When I got engaged to Tammy 29 years ago, we got engaged, and we've been married now for 28. But I gave her a diamond ring. I gave that to her, the solitaire, and it had two little diamonds at that point beside it, to express her worth to me. If I would have given her a ring out of a Cracker Jack box, 25-cent ring. How many remember Cracker Jacks when there were prizes in it? Yeah, how many remember buying? We used to buy cereal that had prizes and toys in it. What's wrong with that? I mean, but if I would have given her a 25-cent ring, do you think that might have insulted her? How many of you women want to get married with a 25-cent ring? That was a man's hand, not a... That is what we get, is a 25-cent ring. No, but we would not want to marry and give a 25-cent ring, because when we give that, we are expressing her worth to me. How do we express the worth of God to us? The only way to do that is to give him our love. And let me expound it just a little moment. The love of our heart, the love of our soul, and the love of our mind. I don't know, we always have read it, love the Lord your God with. But have you ever put love with the heart, love with your soul, love with your mind? Every thought is about the goodness of God. The greatest command we've ever been given is to love God completely. That's what we're supposed to do. This morning I want to take you to Genesis chapter 4. It's a story from the early beginnings, and it's a bit of a sad story. But I want to share it with you because there's some principles and lessons we can learn from it today. Genesis chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. The New Living Translation says it this way. Now Adam had sexual relationships with his wife, Eve, and she became pregnant. When she gave birth to Cain, she said, "With the Lord's help, I have produced a man." Can you imagine this? All of a sudden, it's like, okay, Adam and Eve, we've been together, and whoa, and now this is the product. I produced a man. Later, she gave birth to his brother and named him Abel. Catch this phrase, when they grew up. We lose a lot of years here. Abel became a shepherd while Cain cultivated the ground. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops. Listen carefully. Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift. The best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. "Why are you so angry?" the Lord asked Cain. "Why do you look so dejected?" "You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. You must subdue it and be its master." Verse 8. One day Cain suggested to his brother, "Let's go out to the fields." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Afterward, the Lord asked Cain, "Where is your brother? Where is Abel?" I don't know," Cain responded. Am I my brother's guardian or my brother's keeper?" But the Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are cursed and banished from the ground, which has swallowed your brother's blood. No longer will the ground yield good crops for you, no matter how hard you work. From now on, you will be a homeless wanderer on the earth." Cain replied to the Lord, "My punishment is too great for me to bear. You have banished me from the land and from your presence. You have made me a homeless wanderer. Anyone who finds me will kill me." The Lord replied, "No, for I will give a sevenfold punishment to anyone who kills you." Then the Lord put a mark on Cain to warn anyone who might try to kill him. Verse 16, so Cain left the Lord's presence, wow, and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Heavenly Father, your word is chock full of lessons for us. Would you just reveal today to our hearts individually what each of us need to grow and to understand that you are worthy of worship? Amen. In the passage that we just read, this is an account that's just shortly right after the Garden of Eden. Cain and Abel, we find out, are the sons of Adam and Eve, the very first people that God made on earth. And we see them doing something very significant as they grew up. They brought offerings to the Lord. They're actually coming into the presence of God. God's having conversation with them. They are in his presence. Now, we do not have all the details of their lives and what's gone on before this time, but we can clearly see from text that when they grew up, they knew what they were supposed to do. And it was time for them to bring their offerings before the Lord and to worship him. We can learn from this passage that we ourselves should come and worship and be in the presence of God as we bring our lives and our offerings before him. Why? Because I'm going to talk to us about worship involves celebrating the presence of God, knowing that he's here. One of the key reasons that we come together as a church is to worship God. And we do so because we believe in a very real way that the presence of God is here when we meet together. Listen to what Jesus tells us in Matthew 18. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. Is anybody here in the name of Jesus? That's why you gathered this morning? One, two, three. Good. He's here. That's what he tells us. When we gather in the name of Jesus, he is present. In fact, one of the concerns of Cain, as we listen here in this passage, is when he receives his punishment from God, is that he would not be in the presence of God anymore. Can you imagine? What if you remove the presence of God from your life? How miserable you would be. But listen, because of God's mercy, because of his grace, we can come together in his name. And today we can worship him. We can give our offering. We can serve him. And it all focuses on enjoying the presence of God. That's why we're here. In the Old Testament, God revealed himself in visions and dreams. He sent messages through prophets and through angels. And then Solomon built this temple. And when it was finished, it says that the glory of God filled the temple. Understand, though, in the New Testament, there's a new understanding for us about the presence of God. For after we accept Jesus as our Savior and we do away with worshiping other things in our lives and we begin to worship God only, we live now with the presence of God in our lives. Hear what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 6. What union can there be between God's temple, who's God's temple? We are, and idols. For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will what? Live where? In them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Churches, we meet together to worship. We have to realize not only do we carry the very presence of the Holy Spirit of God within us, but when we come together in his name, God meets with us corporately. And if anything, that ought to make Psalm 100 come alive in our lives. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness and come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It's he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Wow, church. What if you entered that way every week? But it's just a psalm. It was for back then. It is for now because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 52 puts it this way. For what you have done, I will always praise you in the presence of who? Your faithful people. Oh God, thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for making me whole. Thank you. We do it in the presence of God's faithful people. And I will hope in your name, for your name is good. Amen. So we come together to worship and to glorify God as the church. But individually, we have to realize that worship is a part of our ongoing lifestyle. It's not just about Sunday's worship. It's about your worship. 1 Corinthians, Paul teaches here in verse 19 of chapter 6, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? Who is what? In you? Are you getting some of this? Whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, God, honor God with your bodies. Guess what you're going to be stuck with all week long? Your body. Oh, I know some of you said my spouse. No. I'm stuck with this body all week long. It needs to honor God. It needs to not honor Him just on Sunday morning, but Sunday afternoon and Sunday evening and Monday morning and all week long, this body, because in this body is a very temple, the very presence of God. Wherever we go, whatever we do, we need to honor Him. Listen to Psalm 89, 15 to 16. Blessed are those who have learned. Do you understand it's a learning? That's why we're teaching. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, Lord. They rejoice in your name. How often? All day long. They celebrate your righteousness. Listen to it from the New Living Translation. Happy are those who hear the joyful call to worship, for they will walk in the light of your presence, Lord. They rejoice all day long in your wonderful reputation. They exult, they revel, they glory in your righteousness. As individuals who possess the very Spirit of God, church, you get to enjoy the presence of God each day, wherever you go, whatever you're doing. And church, if we would ever begin to think about doing something something questionable in our lives that would dishonor God, remember that God is with you. Individually, we carry the presence, and I would not want to dishonor Him. We have to remember that worship's not something I do on Sunday, but rather something I do daily, because worship involves celebrating the presence of God. So all week long, you get to celebrate His presence. Another thought, though, worship involves committing to the priorities of God. See, I want to know, hey, He's here, but what does He want? Looking back at Genesis 4, it tells us Cain brought one type of offering, and it was just a part. Did you catch that? It was just a portion of the crop. But Abel brought the best of the newest, of the little lambs. And only one of the offerings was accepted. Why? Because God had told him what to do. In fact, listen to God when He tells him in chapter 4 verse 7 again, you will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what's right, then watch out. Church, if you do things that are right, are there blessings that follow that? But if you choose to do something wrong, watch out. If you're not doing the right thing, so why? Sin is crouching at the door. Whether you like it or not, even though the presence of God is here, sin is crouching at the door. And listen to the rest of this, and it's eager to control you. Because sin is missing the mark. It's trying to get your attention off of the mark. That's why Hebrews says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. You have to keep the target in sight, or otherwise we miss the mark. But you, it says, must subdue it, the sin. You have to put it under you, and you become the master of what you allow in your life. You allow it. Cain did not offer what God told him to offer. So let me talk about some priorities that we need to get right in our life. Number one is obedience. One priority of worship is obedience to God's commands. We cannot worship God like this and disobey his word. Oh, I love you, God. And then we leave here and we go sin. That's not worship. That's just emotion in a moment and then living your own life and letting sin control you. Our worship is an expression of our worth to God, of his worth to us. And our worship has to be in an attitude, an action of our heart, our mind, and our soul. Listen to what Jesus says in Luke 6:46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? I mean master, master of everything. Ruler of my heart. And do not do what I say. Can we do that? 1 John 5:3, John puts it this way. In fact, this is love for God. You want to love him? To keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. Oh, but he's going to ask me to do things I just can't do. Whoa, 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 whoa. His commands are not burdensome. They're not, church. Not if you love him. If you love him, you just worship him. Because he's worth it. Church, if we will come to worship the Lord that we love, we will also obey his word. If we want to truly worship God, we have to have this obedient heart. We got to come with a right spirit. We have to come in truth to worship him and obey his word. And by the way, no matter what we think or you think to be true about yourself, you need to know that God sees you for who you really are. And he wants us to be real with him in our worship. And that's why humility is another key priority to worship. God would rather have us humbly admit the truth than pretend to be something that we're not. Don't come to church and pretend to be something. Listen to Luke chapter 18 and a story that Jesus gives. Then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. Listen carefully. Listen to his setup. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I am not like other people. Cheaters, sinners, adulterers. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give you a tenth of my income. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, Oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled. But those who humble themselves will be exalted. I would never want to dare walk into this place and ever think, Lord, look at me. I'm lifting my hands. I wonder why they're not lifting theirs. If they really loved you, but I'm glad I'm not like them. You may not walk away justified. But if you walk into worship, going, God, I messed up this week. God, I love you, and I find myself in your house again. Church, there is a humility that is a priority in our worship. If you really love him, you're going to come to him and you're going to quit comparing yourself. What does it matter? It matters about you and your relationship and your worship. Church, the one who was real with God and asked for God's mercy is the one who got God's forgiveness. So we need to humble ourselves every time we come to worship. And by the way, that's daily. It's a sobering thought. Another key priority is sacrifice. What is it that Cain and Abel brought to God? Each of them brought an offering. We read about it. They were giving something that had value to them as a way of honoring God. This thought came to me. Some people say, well, I really like to go to church, but Sunday's the only day I get to sleep in. I don't know. Have anybody ever really had that thought? Come on, be humble. I asked my staff this morning, every one of us raised our hands. And my wife reminds me, you're the pastor. Church, if that's ever been your thought, think about it for a moment. You just showed the value that you placed on God versus the value you place on sleep. Which one's worth more? Are you really ready to sacrifice? Church, if we really love God, we will sacrifice our honor to him. In 2 Samuel 24, King David, there's a whole story wrapped around this, but he declares something that I think is important for us to learn. In 2 Samuel 24, 24, talking of King David, it says, but the king replied to Araunah, no, I insist on paying you for it. It was about a sacrifice. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing. Oh, Lord, I just thank you for what you're doing. And that's good, all this thanksgiving, but what are you bringing? What cost you? Thank you for coming to church today and cranking your car up and burning gas to get here. That cost you. It cost, you know what? You're here in the house of the Lord. And I know, but this is what we do as the church. This is who we are. And I don't care how much it cost. This is what we're willing to sacrifice. We're willing to be here. And as we worship him, we honor God by sacrificing to show his worth to us. God desires that we worship him through our giving. And that giving, church, ought to be the first part and the best part of everything you make. The first part belongs to the Lord. And he desires for us to honor him by giving it back to him. I want you to hear what God speaks to his church in Malachi chapter 3. God says, will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you in tithes and offerings? You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Church, this isn't my word. This is God's word. And by the way, you can test him because he said, test me. See what I'll do. But I just don't know if we're living sacrificially to really honor him. Lord, I just don't know if there'll be enough. Church, I'm telling you, you need to be all in to your worship. He's worth it all. And if you only knew, and I know we read it, but we don't understand it, but he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. His supply, he tells us right here, is more than you can handle. But there's a place where we get our priorities right. As we stay committed to those priorities. We stay obedient. We work out our humility. We sacrifice. But not only that, lastly, we part of a priority is that we live a life of praise. That's how we're to live. Church, we've been called to praise and to bless the Lord and to boast about him. We got to let our light so shine so that people will know who he is and what he's done in our lives. Our worship is not just about some deep study in the book of Philippians, which it talks about rejoicing. It talks about being glad. But it's more than that. Our praise is attributing the credit for every good thing in our life to God and to God alone. Psalm 34:3 says, glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Let's do it together, right? Psalm 96, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Praise his name. Proclaim his salvation. How often? When was the last time, Lord? God saved me. And you may not do it that way. In the restaurant or whatever, but I there's ways, and maybe I need to do evangelism again for you. But church, it's just opening the doors and say, hey, I just came from church today. And because I have turned my life over to Jesus, see what they respond with. Are you ashamed that you were in church? No. No, I'm glad. I'm worshiping, and I do it day after day. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord the glory. Do his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Amen? Amen. Amen. Worship team, would you come? Over and over again in the Old Testament, the people would relive the events of what had happened in their life, of what God had done. In fact, they would say things like, he was the one who delivered us from the hand of the Egyptians. Oh, he was the one who parted the Red Sea. And then they sang a song to Miriam, and she got the tambourine out, and they began to dance and sing. He's the one, he's triumphed, and over the horse and the rider and the whatever that, thrown into the sea. I knew there was something more to that. They were the ones that would declare, he's the one who provided for us in the desert. He's the one who sent manna. He's the one who gave us quail. He's the one who also protected us. He's the one that took down the walls of Jericho. Do you hear how the people of the Old Testament began to tell of these good deeds? And I tell of them and you go, yeah. Well, let me tell you who we are. We are New Testament believers in Jesus Christ. And you've got something to declare. For by the way, he is the God who provided salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. He paid an awesome price for me, and I am not my own, for I've been bought with a price, the blood of Jesus. It is God who has defeated Satan, and he's overcome death and hell. He holds the keys. He's the God who raised Jesus from the dead. He's the God who has filled his church with the Holy Spirit. He's the God who is preparing a place for you in heaven one day. He's the soon and coming King. He's coming for his church, his body, his bride. He's the God who is to be adored forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, forever and ever and ever. We sang it this morning. We honor you. Church, would you stand? As a church, we exist to seek and to save the lost and to build up the body of Christ. but we have been called to worship. Get your priorities right. I pray that we be a people of worship and that God would get the glory He deserves out of your life. And church, learn to do it with love from all of your heart. Love from all of your heart. Love from all of your soul. Love from all of your mind. Amen. This morning I want to go out rejoicing. Paul writes to the church in chapter 4 of Philippians, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice." And he goes through it. You'll see these, let your gentleness be evident to all. Do you hear the humility in that? For the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer. Do you hear the presence of God? And by petition, and with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Church, we ought to have some praise. Some people have put it this way, put your praise on. I think you ought to wear it all the time. Amen.